Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel on Monday outlined a Pentagon plan to save money by cutting the size of the military to a pre-World War II level. Hagel's plan emphasizes special operations and technology for the future by calling for a smaller army, changes in pay, and the elimination of some aircraft, weapons, and bases.
Today, I'm announcing the key decisions that I have recommended to the President for the Defense Department's fiscal year 2015 budget and beyond. These recommendations will adapt and reshape our defense enterprise so that we can continue to protecting this nation's security in an era of unprecedented uncertainty and change. As we end our combat mission in Afghanistan, this will be the first budget to fully reflect the transition DOD is making for after 13 years of war, the longest conflict in our nation's history. We are repositioning to focus on the strategic challenges and opportunities that will define our future. New technologies, new centers of power, and a world that is growing more volatile, more unpredictable, and in some instances, more threatening to the United States.
We're talking about the proposed deep cuts to the military. What does it mean for national defense? What does it mean for San Antonio, Military City, USA? We invite you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And you can write on our show page on our website, the conversation always going on there at tpr.org. To help us break this down and the impact of these cuts is Lawrence J. Korb. He is a senior fellow for the Budget, Military, National Security at the Center for American Progress, a left-leaning public policy research organization. Lawrence, welcome to The Source.
Nice to be with you.
So, Chuck Hagel, big cuts to the military. Some people say this is it has to be done, and other people say this is too much. What's your read?
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that even with the budget, he presented it up this year, $496 billion, that doesn't include the cost of nuclear weapons, which are funded in the Department of Energy. That in real terms, even if you control for inflation, is back to where we were in 2007, the next to last year of the Bush administration. And it's also, again, even controlling for inflation, higher than we spent on average in the Cold War. Now, it has come down from the 2010 peak, but that's understandable given the fact, for example, that we added 100,000 soldiers and Marines, during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we're, drawing down from that. So I think, reading a lot of these stories and stuff, and it looks like, oh, my goodness, we're going back to, the pre-World War II levels. I mean, before World War II, we had less than 500,000 people in the military. We had the 17th largest army in the world. Right now, we have about 1.4 million people in the military, even with this drawdown, plus another 800,000 in the reserves. So, this idea that somehow we're, this is certainly not true.
So the fear is that somehow the United States is making itself vulnerable to attack by whittling down the size of the military. And you're saying that's not the case.
No, it's not. I mean, we spend more than the next 14 countries in the world combined, many of whom are allies. But we spend more than China and Russia together, just those two. So the idea that somehow it cuts. Now, it did go up. I mean, if you go back, and we're not talking about the war funding budget because that's separate. Chuck said that, that's going to go up, later when they figure out what's going on in Afghanistan. But if you go back in 2001, when before 9/11, and you look at that budget, again, in today's dollars, it was like $340 billion. So we're not going back there. It's not as high, but from 2001 to 2010, in real terms, it goes up, about 50%.
I remember when we used to talk about the peace dividend, I guess at the end of the Cold War, we're saying now we have all this money that we could use for actually social programs or infrastructure in the United States. Is there a savings here? Where is this money going to go?
Well, I mean, you know, basically it is less than we had projected until the so-called, budget control agreement of 2011, and that's when the budget came down. The number of 496 is actually higher than was projected under that because of the agreement made last December by Paul Ryan and Patty Murray. And President Obama, in the budget this year, said, I'd like about $25 billion more than the, you know, the level in the Budget Control Act. And he's asked for 25 for that and 25 for non-defense discretionary spending, some of which would go into, you know, rebuilding our infrastructure.
So we're talking about the sequester here now, right?
Well, the number this year is sequester as modified last December by Ryan Murray. And so, in other words, you got sequester plus, and Obama wants sequester plus plus.
Yeah, but the sequester is still the law of the land. And so there's still some
major cuts
coming to the Pentagon, whether or not if it's Chuck Hagel or put Dick Cheney back in there or whoever, they've got to deal with the sequester, right?
Well, that's right. And it's cuts in the projected levels of defense spending. I mean, even if sequester stays, you're going to stay at this level, $496 billion, for the rest of this decade unless something changes. Obama is trying to change it from 16 to 19. He wants to add another $100 billion, about $111 billion to be exact.
Okay, we're going to keep talking about the sequester because I think that's really important how we got here. But let's get some callers on the air. Frank has called in. Frank, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just one question, and I'll hang up and listen to your answer over the air. When everybody speaks of military cuts, et cetera, why isn't there a whole lot of talk about closing down overseas bases and what's involved, et cetera? And I'll listen to your answer, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right, Frank, thanks for that call. Appreciate that question. It's a good point to bring up. So Lawrence J. Cobb from the Center for American Progress, overseas bases?
Well, yeah, and we need to take a look at them. We also need to look at the bases in the United States because we have about 30% excess capacity now, but the Congress won't authorize what we call the Base Realignment and Enclosure Commission. The last one we had was in 2005. So that's one way in which you could free up money. And this is, Frank, here's the key point. We know what the top number is under the sequester level. The question is, can we get rid of things we don't need so we can spend the money on things we do need? In other words, if you close a couple of bases, could you buy more F-35 Joint Strike Fighters, or could you let pilots fly more hours?
So all these bases and posts that we may have, we happen to have one in every congressional district that there is for some reason, and every congressman wants to protect their home fund, right?
Well, they do, but actually, if you look at the bases, they're primarily in the South and West. Most of the bases in the Northeast and Midwest have been closed as a result of the previous rounds of base closures,
right,
which started back when I was in government.
So I guess the net kind of goes right down red versus blue. We're going to continue this conversation. We've got to take a minute break, and we're talking about the cuts being proposed by Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel. We invite callers to jump in here. What are your concerns? This is Military City USA San Antonio. Lots of bases. We got a big post, Fort Sam Houston here. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX, and we will be right back.
Friday on Fronteras. Last year, more than 1,000 people sought asylum at the San Ysidro Port of Entry. Immigration authorities are seeing a huge increase in asylum seekers at the nation's borders, and the majority are from Central America.
The population truly lives in a state of civic helplessness.
We look at what's driving Central Americans to flee north on Fronteras, Friday afternoon at 3 here on KSTX.
Help keep San Antonio green. If you have a vehicle that is ready to recycle, donate it to Texas Public Radio. Find out more at tpr.org.
You're You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about these big, deep cuts that are being proposed for the U.S. military, the most mighty military in the world. The Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel announced these on Monday. There will be we'll get more information about them, I guess, as the Obama budget is made known. We're talking with Lawrence J. Korb. He's a senior fellow for the budget and military and national security at the Center for American Progress. We're going to bring in Ben Friedman now. He is a research fellow for Defense and Homeland Security at the Cato Institute, which is a public policy libertarian think tank. So Ben, welcome to The Source.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
So what is your take on the proposal from Chuck Hagel?
Well, I'm in favor of big cuts to the military, maybe even bigger than these. But I think what's interesting is that none of this is really new. People are acting like this is a bolt from the sky. But this is just a manifestation of cuts that have been mandated by law and agreed to by a bipartisan majority in both houses of Congress. So it's not anything new. And the Congress wants to disown the results of the budget levels that they legislated. So it's even for Washington politics, it's particularly theatrical.
Well, you know, the sequester was negotiated to be a poison pill that they didn't want to have to swallow, and they would come up with some other way of avoiding these deep cuts, but they couldn't come up with that. So here we are now. But you say you want cuts even to go even further. So you're not shaken with these cuts and thinking that the United States military is not going to be as robust and be able to protect the nation then.
Yeah, that's true. Let me just say, there's no sequester going on unless they violate the budget cap. So the Department of Defense and Chuck Hagel are being a little bit disingenuous when they say we're going to get sequestered in 2016. That's only because they want to bust through the caps and spend more. So we don't have to have a sequester if they live with the budget levels that have been negotiated. That said, I think we could cut not only more but in a better way. I think starting with the Navy, we don't need 11 carriers. I think our nuclear weapons arsenal doesn't need to be delivered in three different ways, by submarines, by aircraft, and by intercontinental ballistic missiles. We could choose one or maybe just two. I think we spend too much on intelligence and fighter wings in the Air Force. So I think there's a lot more room to cut if we agree that we're not going to have as many wars to employ all this force structure.
All right, let's get some callers in on the conversation. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Ed has called in. Ed, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. I just got a comment and a question, then I'll go offline. My comment is that the picture I get is that whenever someone wants to make cutbacks to veterans, people are afraid of trying to make cutbacks to veterans because they sacrifice a lot. Me, as a veteran myself, I already retired from the Air Force, but I don't get a compensation other than what I worked for, my 22 years in the service, which is what everyone should receive unless they are really disabled. We have a lot of individuals that retire, and after they retire, they don't go to work anymore, and all they do is submit claims to Veterans Affairs, so they could get compensated, and then they live off of our tax money from there on.
Right. So, okay, Ed, thanks for those comments. I appreciate you bringing that up. So, Lawrence Korb over at the Center for American Progress, this does not impact VA benefits, right?
No, that's right, and people forget that. VA is a separate department, but a lot of people, when they talk about, you know, veterans, or, you know, one of the things that Chuck Hagel wants to do is get military pay back to where it's supposed to be. People say, oh, it's our veterans. And you know, very few of the people who joined the military, particularly the enlisted soldiers who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, are going to spend enough time in there to retire. And as Ed mentioned, if you're disabled, then the VA takes care of you. It has nothing to do with the defense budget.
And so Ben Friedman at the Cato Institute, I'm sure you're thinking, or I'm thinking you're thinking, that when we get into these military engagements, we make these commitments and promises to these men and women who give all and to fight for these causes, that we have to stick with these people for, you know, generation, you know, for many decades. That's expensive.
certainly it's expensive, and it also doesn't tell you exactly how much they should be paid. I mean, we actually compensate now very generously in the military compared to private sector, and that's a problem for the Pentagon and one that Congress has resisted letting them deal with. The Pentagon says this is eating the rest of our budget, and Congress says we're not going to give you much help on slowing the rate of increase in personnel benefit costs. And then Congress turns around and gets mad at the Pentagon when they want to cut force structure, cut soldiers out of the Army, but they're making it a little bit difficult for the Pentagon to cut any other way.
Okay, let's get another caller in on the conversation. Rick has called in. Thanks for calling in. Rick, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that what we're constantly ignoring is the cannon fodder of the American soldier, okay, or the seaman or the airman or the Marine. This is the dispensable unit that, unfortunately, our government's throwing away, but they'll save an outdated tank plant in Ohio because, and the military has said, when we switched over from the Cold War to counterinsurgency, we don't need that tank plant. Beautiful tank, one of the best tanks in the 20th century. What did we do? Because congressmen that are elected by people are in place, they'll save their little pet projects, and they'll sacrifice the American soldier, the seaman, the airman, on a regular basis. On top of that, you know, when we talk about the money spent, it was only 4.8%. The human lives are a real factor, constantly ignored on a regular basis, and I'm not sure where this great amount of money the last gentleman talked about, that we're getting. We never went into the military for the money. We went in it for duty and country and honor.
Well, and thank you for that, Rick. Appreciate that and those great points. But, you know, my point is that we do have a commitment. We made those a promise that cannot be broken to the men and women who served. And but we also we should be thinking about that when we go into these engagements so that not to be taken lightly and not to when we get down the road and we realize how expensive these things are, that we can just sort of like, well, then we got to make cuts. No, there's no alteration to the deal after the fact. And so, Lawrence Korb, you know, you're hearing about the human element. And we're hearing about the, you know, what they want to make cuts, freezing the salaries now of the senior officers, right?
Well, yeah, but again, you know, generals and admirals are doing very, 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 very well. In fact, you know, when a four-star general or admiral retires, their retired pay is actually higher than they're making in government. And again, basically, I think that's to send a signal that they're going to have to make these cuts. And nobody's talking about breaking promises. I think Ben, you know, alluded to it. You know, we told people that, you know, the military pay should raise, you know, what we call the employment cost index. And that gives a measure of what, you know, you should be making. We want them in the 75th percentile of people in their education and training. Well, it's over 90 now because we kept raising it above the employment cost index for 10 years. And so what Hagel is trying to do, quite correctly, let's bring it down. We're not breaking a promise. We're trying to keep the promise. Or, you know, a retiree enrolls in TRICARE, which is the health care premium. The deal was you pay 25% and the government pays 75%. This is you want to use it. You don't want to go to a base. Right now they're only paying 8%. So they're trying to raise it back to 14%. That's not breaking a promise, but that's what the veterans lobby is doing every time somebody says, let's get these costs back to where they're supposed to be.
All right, and one emailer came in from Ross. He says it's not just Secretary Hagel who made the budget recommendations. It was in conjunction with the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Of course, congressmen don't want any cuts in their own district, even as they scream about pork and overspending in other districts. One of the things about the U.S. military, we talked about this two-plus system. We should be able to do two wars at the same time anywhere on the globe. But now we want to scale that back down to a one-plus. We can do a war and an engagement at the same time. Is that enough, Ben Friedman from the Cato Institute?
Yes. We are running out of enemies that we might have two wars with simultaneously. It's difficult to imagine two big wars breaking out at the same time, that we, at least ones that we couldn't avoid. What we don't have enough troops for is to occupy and pacify a big country even one like Pakistan or Iran, but I think that's probably a good thing in the sense that I don't really want to have that war. So there's always limits on what you can do, but you got to look around the world and see the enemies you got, not just speak sort of generally about two wars at once.
All right, one more caller. Want to get on the air? Tom has called in. Tom, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks. I'm a veteran, and I support the cuts that Secretary Hagel is trying to make. Someone earlier alluded to the veterans lobby, which I was very frustrated to see that the very modest cuts that they tried to make for the 20-year retirees didn't actually stick. The Congress kind of reneged on what they had said. So my question is, what is the likelihood of it actually going through and actually reforming some of these compensation reforms?
Okay, Tom, thanks for the question. Lawrence?
Well, I think Tom raises a good point because Paul Ryan, obviously a former vice presidential candidate, probably some the presidential candidate, supported by Adam Smith, who's the ranking member Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee, said supported this, and then the Pentagon and the White House pulled the rug up from under them. So this is going to be hard. I mean, they had a really good chance because they did this in December and fought for it, until about a week ago. And what happens is the veterans lobby makes it appear that they're breaking promises, not taking care of the people who've been, wounded in battle. And they throw all these things out, and the congressmen and women, there's no political gain for them to stand up to it. Since
right.
Hagel's a combat veteran, I think he's got a better shot.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Lawrence Korb, he's with the Center for American Progress. We're also hearing from Ben Friedman with the Cato Institute talking. This is going to continue to be talked about. This is a big development, talking about cuts to the size of the military. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.